Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Do you love fashion? Do you love getting compliments on how well you're dressed? Are you always seeking the latest trends? Then we're talking to you. BostonProper.com is your fashion destination and the only place to go for all those nods, head turns, and new styles. No matter the day, season, or occasion, Boston Proper has what you're looking for. Sophisticated, confident clothing designed to flatter and get noticed. So visit BostonProper.com now and start creating your perfect wardrobe. Boston Proper. Wear it like no one else.
Who doesn't love shopping at Target? Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target? And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. But wait, there's more. Now you've got a new way to save with Target Circle 360. With unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's. Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. That's $50 off the regular price. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms, applies to orders over $35. For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
I am all in.
I am all in with Scott Patterson, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hey, everybody, Scott Patterson, I am all in podcast, 111 Productions, iHeartRadio podcast, and media. I am joined by my intrepid crew, Amy Sugarman, Danielle Romo, Tara Sood, Suzanne French, season 7, episode 5, The Great Stink. And,
I kept calling it the big stink, but you are correct. It's the great stink.
Either applies, an aptly named episode for sure. And let's do the synopsisizations with Danielle Romo.
I got you.
The head synopsisizer.
It is season 7, episode 5, The Great Stink, air date October 24th, 2006. Christopher and Lorelai's relationship progresses as they get support from Emily and Richard, and he tells her that Sherry wants Gigi to stay in Paris for a few months. Rory gets one night with Logan and meets his colleagues. Plus, Stars Hollow is plagued by a stinky odor.
You know, I feel, as long as you're asking what I thought of the episode, I thought I'd interject. I felt like the great stink was the whole thing was a metaphor. The stink was season 7. The residents of Stars Hollow were the fans, and I thought, isn't that clever of them to be so aware
of how stinky.
Of how stinky things have gotten in the hollow.
Oh, my God.
And it, you know, okay, this is what I'll say. This show is so far gone at this point, season 7, that I'm just looking for positive stuff. I'm just looking to enjoy the last two episodes.
I'm going to go as far as that.
I'm going to get something out of this because there's going to be good jokes. There's going to be jollies and... You know, I really like the Logan Rory stuff.
I have some criticism there.
You didn't
guys.
Like it?
Really? Oh, Amy, no.
There's,
oh,
no. There's things I like, but there's things I do not like.
Oh, right. That's the
that was the best part of the episode.
That was the best part of the episode.
Okay, let me ask you this. Zuckery was the best part of the episode, or Logan. I found Rory to be so irritating and annoying. Like, her complaining about the dinner and almost whining.
I don't blame her.
I enjoyed it.
Thought it was going to be an intimate dinner with the two of them. And that was like a bro hang. You know?
May Come I on. Say, yeah. I saw Suzanne nodding a bit, and I think she might be on my side.
There's like two Gilmores for me. There's like seasons one through three and four-ish. And then there's season four-ish through seven.
Do you know what I think? And let me just interrupt you here. I think that season seven, and particularly this episode, and especially that cheese ball ending, which was a really an homage to like, it's like the corpse of Gilmore was happened upon by a show called Dynasty, which somehow procreated with the Brady Bunch and came up with season seven.
Wait, why did I block out how the show ends? I know they're going to France and they're all happy.
It was that thing in the car.
And
they cut to
everybody's
smiles.
I actually liked that moment. That was the cheesy moment that I actually liked. I mean, we're
but that's
have to
not Gilmore. Gilmore doesn't do that.
Yeah, you're
that's
right.
Like,
there was something
that's
I enjoyed
Brady
about
Bunch.
That.
That's a
yeah,
Brady
yeah,
Bunch ending.
Yeah.
But I will say it was the first time I was really happy we weren't just mad at the end of an episode.
I had way more complaints than the
speak for
ending.
Yourself.
I didn't like the scene.
Lorelai is still running off with Christopher.
Well,
still
yeah.
the same. Same ending.
I didn't like the scene, but it wasn't like me wanting to punch my TV.
Yeah.
No. Anyway, Suzanne, I interrupted you. Apologies.
No, that's go okay. Ahead. I yeah. just was gonna say, I think out of the past like maybe 10 episodes, this one wasn't that bad.
Ooh,
yeah.
Wow. So
I agree.
It's not like, you know, first, second, third season quality, but given that this is our new normal, I thought it was. Okay.
It's okay. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. There's things I really like.
I do agree that Rory was a little on my nerves, though. But
thank you. She's so annoying in this.
But her annoyingness is hilarious.
And it's always kind of valid.
I disagree.
Well, I kind of disagree with it being valid, but it was hilarious.
I also found it so annoying that they're like, oh. And then Bobby just stole the show by getting up and walking out, reenacted. And I'm like, she
funny.
Didn't do anything good. Like,
it
I was like,
funny.
I think she's super cute and cool, but
I thought it was funny.
I was not. That was that. Could that dinner scene could have been so much better? But who am I to judge?
I totally got Rory on the Bobby thing though, like how she thought Bobby was a man.
That's the part
I
that
had
I was
a similar
about.
Thing happen to me in my life, so I kind of was with her.
Oh, Suzanne, your husband was working with someone named Pat.
This was like this guy. This was like way before I even met my husband. It was this guy that I was kind of like. We weren't dating, but I was kind of interested, and it was kind of that early, like weirdness.
And he had a best friend named Pat.
And Ray, he kept going
Ray,
out with
wow.
his friend Ray, but it turned out to be R-A-E.
Raylene, maybe.
And a girl.
That was not clear to me.
But to his defense, he was like, I'm going
like,
out
oh
with
God,
Ray.
Why didn't you say something? So I could kind of relate to her on that.
I can't. If you want to talk about cringe, I mean.
Yeah, we do. Of course.
All of the Lorelai and Christopher scenes were cringe. Total cringe. I don't know how it's like I didn't know what show I was watching anymore.
And we will be discussing the deleted scene that Suzanne found and sent us.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I have not as much cringe on them as I was like, Rory, you're making me so mad.
Christopher was, it kind of annoyed me that he we'll talk about it when we get to that scene, but it annoyed me that he was annoyed with Lorelai because he misinterpreted what she was saying. And it was like, he's done that to her before. He did that to her at Luke's diner that one time, right after the debutante ball. I don't know. We'll talk about it when we get
there.
Wait a minute,
let's just talk about the massive hole in the show now. The Luke and Lorelai narrative is gone now.
We're missing a Luke. There wasn't enough Luke.
And it's awkward. The show feels really flat now. And I have never, ever disliked being in the presence of the Gilmores, Richard and Emily. Okay. This time I did. They were just too damn happy that Christopher was.
Yeah. Oh,
was there.
Yeah.
Emily was a little.
I mean,
that's tracks for me. That's how they would be.
Yeah,
I know they would be that way. I'm just saying, as a fan of the show,
it bothered you.
Yeah, and the big narrative that you know was part one of the pillars of the show is now removed completely, 100%.
Right
to the point where Lorelai even makes some really demeaning comment. It's like, I'd rather smell this stink than go to a town hall meeting and run into Luke.
Well, that I thought that was about. Crazy. I mean,
that
I
was
think,
like borderline disrespectful to the character. You know,
yeah,
overall,
I think we start digging into each scene because I think we've got problems with each one.
Yeah,
let's go, Amy.
So, okay,
bring planes, it, baby. Let's go.
Planes on a runway. Let's get
I'm
her
gonna
in
be
here.
More positive than everybody else, but
Lorelai's packing multiple bags, and
dumb.
It turns out all the stuff she's packing is for Paul Anka, and she's making a toothbrush.
It was dumb.
No, it's not.
It was grating.
As a former dog owner, there are many bags. It's like you're packing for five children. There's the water bowl. There's the food. There's, if they have medication, their toy. If they have a bandana, like there's a lot. There's a lot that goes into it.
And very specific. Like, it has to be a green tennis ball and it has to be this brand. Like,
yeah, the toys, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I get it.
All right. I mean, it was mildly amusing. I was like, okay, she's going to go over to Christopher's. They're obviously still doing great. Then she forgot Paul Anka. I'm like, oh gosh, it's so wacky. Like there were some things I didn't love.
I think, Amy, you got to understand, these fans who are dedicated to the show are sitting there in disgust that they have to watch these scenes.
See,
barf at all times.
I think
these
they're
two together.
More where I'm at in that it's not bad. It's not disgust.
You would be
wrong. Well, we'll find. Trust me, we will find out because they do not hold that.
As a fan,
I shouldn't say that. I should just say I disagree with that.
Suzanne, yeah, how do you feel?
I was going to say, I would rather watch a scene like that, which is sort of funny and bantery. I would rather watch that kind of a Lorelai Christopher scene than watch a romantic Lorelai Christopher scene.
I would rather watch that and a romantic scene than them arguing like they did in the front door of the Gilmores. I was like, make it stop.
Well, yeah, that's because Christopher's just not. He's a weenie.
He's a weenie.
And say we're right out the gate, we're like, that's like, I hate it. I'm like, I'm hanging in there.
I enjoyed the town hall stuff. I enjoyed the
Don't jump ahead because there is some town hall stuff.
Pickle stink. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, there was
I enjoyed Rory and
when
Logan
we get to the
stuff.
Town hall, there's some genius stuff there.
Good stuff. So then we go to Rory and Logan's apartment. She's getting off the elevator. She's carrying 300 books.
Not mad about it.
And he's on the phone with her and he says, go on the roof, go on the roof. She unlocks the door, but then carries all the books upstairs.
Yeah, interesting. Thank you.
Okay. And like, I don't know if she thought like a meteor shower is something that like only lasts a few seconds and she had to run right up there. I don't know.
I would have just left the books at the door. Like, I understand that she wanted to hurry, but like, they don't live in like, I don't think anyone's going to come by and steal her books. She could just put them down and run up. It would have been better.
Yeah, but what about all her notes in there?
Gotta no one's stealing those. That. I don't think
no one wants
if you lose your notes, I mean, that's a
you'd
big
be screwed.
Deal.
True. Yeah. But then.
So then she goes up on the roof and there's Logan and she's all excited. That was
loved.
A cute moment.
I like the scene.
It was charming.
That was great.
And he had the, you know, all the little twinkle lights and the food. And
it's all great.
Yeah.
What a cutie. What a straight up cutie. And his teeth have never looked better than in this episode. I'm like, wow, your teeth, Matt Zuckery. Hello.
He like made such a. Like from when I first met him, I was like, this brat is now Rory's love interest. But right now, I think he's so cute. Love Logan right
he's
now.
He's in control.
And I'm really nervous for if that's going to change because everyone doesn't like him.
But I think that's like the journey with Logan.
Yeah.
Like you go back and forth. Like you're like, oh, he's so annoying. Like, oh my God, but he treats her right.
Yeah. And then
like,
you'll go
right
ahead.
Now is A+ Logan. He is gold, shiny star.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait to hear how Danielle feels about the movies. Wait, you guys, I have to tell you a secret. Huddle up, you guys.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, here's a secret. I'm going to admit this. I might have made a phone call this week to find out if Matt Zuckery has a girlfriend, not because I have the perfect person to set him up with.
Ooh.
Really?
So I was like, I need to find out. And I did not get a straight answer, but maybe there's hope. There might be hope for my friend.
Who's your friend?
Well, I can't reveal.
Why not?
She's not famous. Like,
I thought,
and
we
I think
were
he dates
up and hush,
not
hush.
Famous people. So, like, I think it could
like
happen.
Milo doesn't date famous people.
Is he still married?
Yeah, he married someone with the last name Mariano. It's just
that's
like,
right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. I forgot about that.
But Zuckery. So yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I did make that call. So everybody listening,
Amy, if you know of anyone else who's looking for a girlfriend,
you've got a chance. No, he might have a girlfriend. I actually
your phone's going to be ringing off the hook. Let me.
He's very private, so we don't know. So I did not get a straight answer, but I tried to find out. But don't tell. Don't tell everybody.
Maybe we could do a raffle or something.
Raffle.
We could raffle them off. Why not? Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices, and vacation disappears quicker than ice cream melts. But what if summer doesn't have to come with a scorching price tag? What if there's another way? With IKEA, your plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Dreamy getaways can mean the perfect reading nook right outside your window, picnic in the shade, or taking your morning coffee to meet the morning sun. Really, any meal tastes better outside. Create that summer escape for family and friends and start planning a better, more affordable summer right now. You can be the host with the most and the least worries. This summer, make your doorstep the perfect vacation destination with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Looking for a fabulous fashion brand that celebrates you? Then look no further than Boston Proper, where styles are designed with you in mind, so you can look and feel amazing, no matter the day, season, or occasion. At bostonproper.com, you'll find fashion that knows you best. For over 30 years, Boston Proper has been the fashion destination for confident women who want to elevate their look with unique, sophisticated clothing at affordable prices. Visit bostonproper.com today. Boston Proper. Wear it like no one else.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Lorelai's going through the TiVo, and this made me laugh because...
the TiVo.
Yeah, like the act, those sounds actually were like the TiVo
totally.
Sounds. I don't know if you guys had an actual thing back in the day. Yeah. But I was like, oh my gosh, core memory. It was, I totally remember those sounds from that.
Definitely product placement right there at that.
Yeah.
And when I watched Gilmore Girls the first time, I TiVo'd it. I would watch it on my TiVo. Like I would go, Gilmore Girls, because I wouldn't watch it.
Do you remember recording on a VHS?
Obviously.
Yes.
Yeah. So many VHS.
Having to rewind the tapes to start from the beginning.
Does this mean anything to you? Be kind, rewind.
Yeah. No. Blockbuster.
From Blockbuster.
You get charged. You'd get charged
if you didn't rewind.
Oh, that's
that
right.
Was so annoying when you popped in your movie and it was at the end.
Oh my God. It took so long to rewind it. Same with cassette tapes. Oh, you're like, yeah. I don't want us to hear number 2 and 3. Get me to like Billy Joel, Glass Houses. And like, you had to fast forward. Anyway, see, our pop culture is better than the pop culture in this episode because ours is organic and clever. I have such a beef with the pop culture, but we'll talk about that later.
So then Christopher shows Lorelai the letter from Sherry. She's had this epiphany and she's sorry, and dating a yoga instructor sends this 15-page letter that she wants Gigi to come visit her. Lorelai is surprised that Chris shared it with her, obviously, because of what happened with Luke. She's like, you just got this letter and you're sharing it with me. And Christopher thought she was criticizing him. She says, no, it's not a criticism. And then that's when we find out that she wants Gigi to come with her to, or to come visit her in Paris. Mm-hmm. I was hoping for a little Paul Anka in the scene because they made such a big deal.
Right.
It's going to be the first time that Paul Anka goes to Christopher's house. I wanted to see him.
I just thought it was such a Luke dig. She was giving such a dig to Luke, you know, about the letter because she's like, no. I'm so happy you're telling me. Mm. You mean you're, and she was so sort of sarcastically not funny about it. She's like, you mean you didn't hide it for a month and then not, and nah. You know, I was like, I'm not really loving that.
Are we all in, how do we feel about this dippy guy?
Oh my God.
Christopher sharing his 15 page letter with his ex-wife to Lorelai. I mean,
I was fine with that. I'm fine with it.
What is that move? Is that like too
I didn't
much
think I didn't think that was as bad as just being like, oh yeah, let me just ship my daughter with the nanny to Europe.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah,
I thought that was worse weird than sharing the letter.
Also tracks with Christopher.
It totally tracks, you know. But like,
yeah,
I don't know.
It's just Mr. Desperado. Here, I'm going to share the letter. Go ahead and read it. You know. See how many times she says, I'm sorry.
I didn't mind the letter, but Christopher's got some real question marks in this episode.
Yeah.
He's a boy. He's not a man.
Well, yeah. it also just tracks to like he wasn't really there for Rory either. So it surprised me, but it didn't. I think it surprised me because I'm like, has he changed? He's been taking care of Gigi for how many years now? But it's like, oh no, the first chance that he gets to like ship Gigi off, he's like, oh, just go with the nanny.
Nobody's doing that.
No.
I mean, maybe here. I can't judge. But like Lorelai would never have done that.
No.
So that's why she's so
triggered. Have a very interesting argument though that like she deserves to have a relationship with her mother.
Yeah, and
I
she
found
should
that
come
interesting
here.
Yeah, but why can't he take Gigi?
Or she should come here.
Or
like,
or
totally,
yeah.
I'm not.
Like, Gigi
yeah
has her school and her friends and yeah her whatever.
Well, no,
like,
he said that she's not in school yet.
I know, but she's still in like preschool or playgroup or whatever. She's at the park playing with somebody. It's like he should have said to Sherry, this is wonderful news. I have tons of money now. I so look forward to you. I'll even help you put you up, right? And so that you can spend the summer with your daughter. What wonderful news. Not, I'm going to have the nanny take my kid to this rando who left her once.
Well, and the comment that, oh, she's 25. She'll have fun or whatever he said.
Yeah. I thought it was funny. Whenever Lorelai mentioned the nanny, the age always got lower. Did you notice
that?
Yeah.
Got to 18, I think.
First she said the 20-year-old nanny. Then she's like the 18-year-old nanny.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't surprised. I was not like when Christopher was like, oh, I'm going to ship her with the nanny. It's a once in a lifetime opportunity for the nanny, you know?
You know what it is?
Exactly. Like, don't worry about what Gigi thinks of it. Let's just make the nanny happy.
You know what this is? This is a typical Christopher cluster, you know what?
Yeah.
It's like that guy stepped in it a long time ago and he keeps like asking people to clean off his shoes. And it's just unbelievable. It's like everything, every scene with this guy, it's like, what is he doing?
He's very mixed for me because there's times when I'm like, oh, that's cute, they're cute, and then there's times when I'm like, oh gosh.
Yeah, he's not a great decision maker.
In question, does he have a job right now?
He's rich.
He's rich, but does he have a job?
He's got like 30 million or something, didn't we decide?
Yes,
or 50
his
million.
Job is to annoy us. He's doing it.
My point
well
being, he could take her to Paris.
Of course.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
He has time and the money.
Right.
Exactly. Well, and in fact, he's going to take her to Paris because that's what happens at the end.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just.
Okay, so enough of Christopher. So we go back to the rooftop where Logan and Rory are laying on a couch cushion, presumably watching the meteor shower and talking business jargon, blah, 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 and Rory's laughing at Logan. That was kind of cute how she was
laughing.
That
was cute. That was cute.
Good banter.
It was a cute little, you know, almost a throwaway scene, but it was cute little banter.
It's almost those, their scenes were better acted than the Christopher Lorelai.
Wait, this isn't where she was in bed and called him like a worm lover.
No,
they're
still on the roof.
Okay. Yeah,
they're still on the roof at this point. She's like, his arm around her. She's trying to check his
watch. And they're like, it only 26 more hours. What are we going to do?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But then right after that, it does go to the apartment where it's the early the next morning. It's like 6 a.m. And so he's going to the pre-breakfast breakfast to prep with his team for the meeting, and then the whole, you know, work dork lover.
That's what it was.
That was a cute little, like, you know, thing between them. And she, Rory looked happy. It was cute.
She was. Happy. She's in love, and she,
yeah,
she
missed him.
Well. She acts that well. I just thought their stuff was really well acted compared to the Christopher Lorelei stuff.
Yeah, I thought those scenes were realistic. Like she's been missing him so much, and then she'd be so excited to see him.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought it was cute.
Yeah, I got a hand of those too. They really did some great scenes together. Yeah.
And then the next scene is where the stink is introduced. So no one knows what it is. They try to open a window, but it's worse outside. It's not coming from the kitchen. Suki's offended at the idea that it would be coming from the kitchen.
It was funny. This was funny. And for me, the best parts of all the stinky stuff were the very subtle things you barely notice. Like Michelle grabs the like weird squash or sort of fruity type object and just holds it on his nose. And in the, we'll get to the town meeting, but there are some hilarious subtleties in the town meeting. Like Gypsy is wearing air fresheners all around her neck. So that was very clever. There was some really good stuff.
It was also just nice to see everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know, and we Taylor had a good town meeting for a while.
Yeah, that was a good one. And everyone's sort of like doing weird things with their nose. And Taylor doesn't want to pay the $2,500.
And everyone's calling him a cheap.
That's funny.
And then we see Luke at the town meeting. I think that was the first time we'd seen Luke in the episode.
I thought we'd saw him one time prior. When they discover the smell? No.
No,
I don't think so.
Nope. Gosh, why did I think I saw you one time there?
Scott's like, nope.
That was the very satisfying.
We were at Logan.
It's because we talked about him or Lorelai.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
That's the very enviable position to have one part of one day shooting day, and then you're off the rest of that shoot for that episode. That's wonderful.
Well, and I think we can talk about it at the end, but I think you had like a little bit more of a story.
Well, yeah.
You were in the deleted scene. So I wonder if there were like maybe another scene or two that led into that. But
Because we didn't see April, even though she did work and did that episode.
She wasn't in the episode at all.
But she's in the deleted scene.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, she's still got her money. So that's
good for payday.
Okay. So eventually
good
the town. Vanessa. To spend the money to pick up the pickles and alleviate the stench. And then we go to the playground.
I think we do need to post some photos from that town meeting though, so people can really see like the air freshener and like people were doing different things. And Michelle still has the like gourd or whatever it is over.
It was like an orange with the cloves stuck in
it. Yeah. I thought is that what it was? Okay. Yeah.
The whole time I was like, I love pickles, but the smell around town would be terrible. Like I was actually thinking about
especially like 3 days in the sun.
We talk about the deleted scene here because it probably went in around here.
You think it was here?
It was at the end.
Okay, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, because if he has April, Luke didn't have April at the town meeting.
Lives with him right now, guys. She still lives with him.
She was studying.
She was staying with him, but it's at the end because he sees them all drive by in the car.
Oh, okay. We'll talk about it then. Thank you. You're right.
I think it was.
And it was night. I'm dumb.
Scene or second to last scene. So we go to the playground, and the second time I watched, because I watched this episode twice this week, and the second time I watched it, I was watching the background, and it was like the same five people.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
Somebody was riding a bike, and it was pretty funny.
And he's not a great fake actor, Christopher/David Sutcliffe. You know, when he's like clearly talking to Gigi, I was like, that's not great acting. So maybe it's not, because you know what I'm saying? Fake acting. It's like face acting, but it's fake acting. Like
knowing Gigi's not actually there.
To something that's not there.
Yeah.
Not great, David, but that's okay.
So this is where, I guess we didn't hear about Paris in the letter part. We heard about it in this scene. Before that. So one thing I noticed, this is where they talk about Friday night dinner. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was interesting. Lorelai mentioned going to Friday night dinner. And she said, yeah, you, me, and Rory. Like, no mention of Gigi going to Friday night dinner. Like, it's just automatically.
Oh yeah, that's interesting.
That Gigi's not allowed to go.
That's interesting. Mm. I guess though she's too little for something like Friday night dinner. She's so little. Why would she want to do that?
Yeah. Too late.
Maybe, but you know.
Way past her bedtime.
Yeah, but I like where your head's at with that.
I don't know. I just feel like if it was their kid, that kid would have been invited to dinner. But because it was Christopher's kid from, you know, some less desirable person, we can't be around that child.
Plus, it's a production sort of cost to add a rubber baby.
I was going to say, we didn't have a real one.
A four-year-old.
Yeah, or a rubber four-year-old. But then you have to get the real four-year-old, and it's like,
right.
And then you have to adapt your schedule so that they, you know what I mean? It throws off everybody's schedule to bring kids.
I did notice that, you know, Gigi is sort of a central concept in this episode, and yet they never like showed her, like they didn't have to bring in Gigi.
That kid, right?
So this is where he mentions having the nanny take
Apparently she wears the same button-down shirts as her father.
And so we see Lorelai kind of make that face like, I don't think this is such a great idea, but she doesn't say anything at that point.
Right, because she's trying not to be that person or something.
Yeah. So then we get a little break from the Gilmore craziness, and we go to Yale.
To the paper?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
We went to the newsroom.
And that was a little annoying.
Going out and they're arguing about who's going to release the paper. Is it going to be?
I agree.
It just felt a little out of place.
I could have done without that scene.
Same. It felt like filler to me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, we get it.
What was the point of it? It wasn't funny.
No. I think it was to say they needed a scene for Logan to tell Rory that.
They sold the thing. They bought the company, and we're going out on the town. Get ready.
I feel like she totally could have been at home studying, and that would have been
totally.
Yeah. Because I was like, okay, well, now we have Paris. I feel like Paris was a throwaway in this episode. Like, you know, it just felt like a throwaway scene.
Totally underutilized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like having a missile. You don't fire it. You just show it. Yeah. What a waste.
And then we go to the dragonfly. Michelle is trying. It took me a while to understand what he was doing. I guess he was talking to a client or a potential guest.
He was trying to convince somebody not to come today because of the pickles.
Somebody trying to book a room.
Yeah. And then the towels were funny. And then he puts the mask on. It was all amusing with the pickles.
Yeah. And then Suki is cooking pastrami.
Smart.
To mask this. Did you see the size of those loaves of bread?
Yeah, they were.
They were massive.
You could smuggle a body in those.
You could smuggle a rubber 4-year-old in those.
I don't love pastrami. Do you guys? I know a lot of people do. Danielle, do you?
I'll eat it. I'm not ordering it, but I'll eat it.
What is it?
Like, it's almost like a roast beef.
Yeah.
Is it?
Pickled roast beef.
Oh, it's pickled roast beef. Okay.
Isn't pastrami like pickled roast beef or something?
Something like that.
It's not salami.
No.
Okay.
It's made from beef brisket.
Ooh. I like that. Then why don't I like pastrami? I don't think I like pastrami.
Maybe you haven't had the right kind of pastrami sandwich. You got to go to New York.
Yeah, never had pastrami, and I'm judging it based on
that,
nothing.
What's that place in New York City? What is it? What are they?
Jerry's Deli?
We were just there in April. We went to Katz's, and
Katz's.
All right,
the pastrami sandwich. It's like 6 inches thick.
Yeah, through a thunderstorm to get there. And
I don't think pastrami's on my list of safe foods with my acid reflux, so I think have it.
Right.
That's good. We can do a whole episode on that. Wait for that. Stay tuned, everybody.
That's when you do your imitation of Mount St. Helens.
Yeah. Amy's diet is weird episode.
Right. Yeah. All right.
We'll do an episode on that. Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. And vacation disappears quicker than ice cream melts. But what if summer doesn't have to come with a scorching price tag? What if there's another way? With IKEA, your plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Dreamy getaways can mean the perfect reading nook right outside your window, picnic in the shade, or taking your morning coffee to meet the morning sun. Really, any meal tastes better outside. Create that summer escape for family and friends and start planning a better, more affordable summer right now. You can be the host with the most and the least worries. This summer, make your doorstep the perfect vacation destination with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Looking for a fabulous fashion brand that celebrates you? Then look no further than Boston Proper, where styles are designed with you in mind, so you can look and feel amazing, no matter the day, season, or occasion. At bostonproper.com, you'll find fashion that knows you best. For over 30 years, Boston Proper has been the fashion destination for confident women who want to elevate their look with unique, sophisticated clothing at affordable prices. Visit bostonproper.com today. Boston Proper. Wear it like no one else.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
So then Suki, who we established already, has become the voice of the fan.
Yeah, hates Christopher.
Suki is talking to Lorelai about, like, why didn't you call Christopher out on the insanity of sending the little kid to Paris with a nanny? And Lorelai says, basically, in her head, she was thinking of Luke. She had to, like, tell herself, wait, no, Christopher wants me involved in his kid's life. It was Luke that shut me out. And then the phone call from Rory, I thought the phone call was funny. The whole pickle train conducting and how they had to replay the whole phone call because Rory had news she didn't tell. I thought that was a cute little
thing. Yeah, it's a little much.
I thought it's
odd seeing Lorelai behave this way.
I agree with you.
She seems so damn happy and it's just so wrong.
But she also seems all mixed up in, like, who she is, right? She's not suddenly going to just have this filter and, like, hold back with this guy she's known longer than even Luke. Like, it just I'm like, who is this person?
Right.
I even thought, and this is, like, I'm not being mean. I'm just going to say it. And I don't know if it was how they shot her. She even looked a little different in this episode. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what is happening? Who is that lady?
Yeah,
by the way, Lauren Graham is coming to San Francisco.
She's also coming to her book tour in LA, like, somewhere.
I gotta get tickets. You guys should come up here.
She was in Riverside last weekend.
It already happened.
But not here. Come up to San Francisco. Okay, continue. Sorry.
Okay, let's see. So, okay, phone call. We talked about the pickle train conducting. Then we go to the dinner with Logan. Okay, now, first of all, before we jump into the scene, I have to say, when you watch this episode again, notice when they walk into the restaurant and you can see there's in the background, there's like a wooden paneling with some kind of a metal, like, kind of accent stripe. So that room, wherever that is on the Warner lot, has been used in other Gilmore episodes. So that was the same room where Lorelai and Jason went on their first date, and they walk in and she sees Ted Koppel. Room. And then it was also in I can't remember the name of the episode, but it was early, I think it was like season one, season two, when Trix was going to give Rory the trust fund and they go to tea And Emily I got in an argument, and that's when Trix is like, okay, well, I'm not giving you the money now. That was that same room. So,
oh, interesting.
Next time you watch it, fun little.
Wow, that was a very good fun fact.
Deep cut. I like how they like reuse things.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Cool.
Okay, so this is where Rory finds out that Bobby is a female. And the look on her face, I thought Alexis did a good job in this scene.
And even in just her mannerisms too. Like she was clearly stressed out.
Right. Like she's trying to, you know, kind of hold it together and be sociable, but at the same time you can see like the wheels in her head are just like spinning and she's about to like.
And I thought this was where I got real annoyed. It was such an overreaction. I was like, chill.
But for like someone, I don't know. Like when you have a long distance relationship, and I'm only saying this because I briefly did it in college, you don't know these people. And so when you hear your significant other being like, oh, I hung out with Bobby, and then you find out Bobby is a gorgeous blonde,
right?
Mm-hmm. You're like, wait a minute. I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, but I also...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I also thought that like, if my boyfriend was in town for 26 hours... And then I go to this dinner and like, I would just be so annoyed with like a group of people, let alone another woman. Like that's where I thought, I'm like, she kind of has her like valid feelings.
Yeah. Well,
there's also something to be said for the style of acting for TV versus film, and for especially this show, because they don't do close-ups.
Sure.
So everything is either wide shots or two shots or, you know, they go from waist up. That's
why don't they do close-ups? I was today years old when I learned that.
Amy just doesn't like close-ups. She doesn't do them. Yeah.
So that's not all TV shows or hour-long shows, but it's
this show. So the acting has to be a little more noticeable, I guess. Mm-hmm. You can't pick up the subtleties as easily when you're not in a close-up that's beautifully lit. And you know what I mean?
That's interesting.
But we had some close-ups of Rory in that scene, didn't we? I have to go back and look, I guess.
It was over the top, though. I think what Scott is saying is,
they don't do close-ups. They don't do, like, head, like close in on the eyes and stuff. They don't do that. Everything is, like, from chest up or waist up.
I think that makes sense because on other shows, on the 90210 show I do, there was a close-up so close I told Tori Spelling I could see down her ear. And you never have that on Gilmore.
And I think beyond that, I think that she felt kind of left out, too, because she had nothing in common with these people. They all had this great shared experience of this breakfast where they bought this company. And she was just kind of like nodding. And
I know, but I thought it was so like you're the plus one. You've been included with this group that's super important to Logan. I thought she could have just leveled up. I thought she could have been like engaging.
He led her on that it was going to be an intimate dinner, just the two of them, their special time together. And then she walks into that. I kind of don't blame her.
Let's take a vote.
The clock was ticking, you know, running out of time. And she thought that was going to be like a special dinner with
the two of them.
Yeah. I don't think he kind of see her perspective.
Right? He never said that it was going to be the group. He never did. She had every right to be a little perturbed.
If you remember that morning, she woke up and she was like, we only have 15 hours left.
Right.
We wasted hours sleeping or whatever. She doesn't want hours being spent with his work colleagues.
I would be excited to be included. I think it's super nice. I'm just giving you a different thing. It's super nice that he included her. I think she's super smart. She could have just totally risen to the occasion and been like, just so happy to be there with these people and celebrating their significant accomplishment. And I just thought she was a whiny little brat. Sorry, I did. And I thought she was not even hiding it. I thought you're being so
rude. She wasn't.
She wasn't. And Logan called her out.
But it's Logan's fault.
He was nice about it.
He set the bar really high with the rooftop delight, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then ruins the private dinner thing with, you know, it's not just going to be me and my pals, but there's going to be a really beautiful woman there that I work with who went to Oxford. I mean, that was a little messed up, throwing the Oxford thing too.
I'm like, ooh.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems weirder. I think that the fact, like, if someone called me and was like, come to dinner and my colleague is beautiful, I'd be like,
No.
I think it's just like, he's just like, no, I think he just had to say it's a woman. I don't even think he had to mention her appearance. I think it's just, hey,
that's so weird. Like, Danielle, if we had a work dinner, I'm not going to be like, to your husband, there's going to be four girls there and seven boys.
But he didn't even say that. Well, yeah, wait a minute. All he had to say to her was like, hey, it's kind of a work dinner. It's like sort of a celebration thing. So my colleagues are going to be there.
Bobby, she went to Oxford. You know, like there's that.
There's a woman there that I work with. And she went to Oxford.
If that part's out, he could have said, come join us. We're celebrating this huge success. That's and I want you there. And I want
that's
you to meet
what
all
he should have said.
Fair.
If he said colleagues, it would make a difference. I don't think he'd have to say, you're right.
That wasn't the first time he'd ever mentioned Bobby. Like Rory says that, you know, he's told me all about you guys. Like he's been in London for months now. They've had conversations about his coworkers. He could have somehow mentioned, or it would have come up in the conversation, that Bobby was a female.
Are we worried
that it didn't have to be just that conversation?
Correct, but are we worried that Logan's going to like kiss Bobby? I'm not. Who cares?
I mean,
no, we're so not worried about that. Yeah. But Rory, I don't know. I just feel like it was a little disingenuous.
We're talking Logan here.
The one thing I will say is, I sympathize with Rory. Again, she's in a long distance relationship. You know, you already are insecure as it is, especially at that age.
But when you go to
dinner with a colleague for the first time that spends more time with your significant other than you do, for them to be like, oh, like I did think Rory had valid points with the adorable. You know, like, oh, you two are adorable.
Bobby was
that didn't bother me.
We have so much fun because Logan makes us laugh. You know, it's just like,
Logan was a tad slick in this episode. You know, he's a little slick, isn't he?
I think that Logan.
I would argue.
Does the great thing on the roof and then he fails to really prep her for the dinner. And then there's some.
Well, that's
gorgeous
the word,
woman sitting
Scott.
There. And they sitting right next to each other. It feels a little.
The word Scott just used, prep, is what I think Logan messed up. Because I think that, like, even when you take your, like, significant other to like a family party, you're like, hey, my nutty aunt and uncle are going to be there, and my so-and-so's, you know,
you kind of give
like
a rundown of who's there.
You do prep them, and that is kind of standard. So I do blame Logan on that. That, like,
absolutely,
hey,
standard,
because then she could have brought her A game and be like, oh, Tommy, she told me all about your, you know, he told me all about those other two guys were dorks. I thought too, if I may say, they were dorks.
I will argue to say that I do. But truly believe that Logan was kind of thrilled that Rory was jealous.
Yes.
Because when he said it, he was smiling. Like, oh, Ace, you were jealous.
That's cute.
You know, like,
okay,
I think he liked it. It's not cute.
He's playing games. Some games. You know,
but he liked it. He likes her. He's not going to like cheat on her.
I think it could have been intentional, is my point. He wanted her to be jealous.
Well, I think he intentionally didn't tell her Bobby's a girl. And then I think he likes that she was all in a dither.
Well, he also didn't want her to freak out probably while he's in London, now that I think about it.
Also, she spent 3 hours of the dinner being all bitter, and then he says one thing and she's fine. That was weird too. I was like,
what? This is completely
random. She annoyed me, you guys.
This is random, but when they're walking out, there is a background extra who walks straight into Logan, where he literally goes like this to let her walk by. If you go back, and I was like, that was a little aggressive, because if you were supposed to be like in New York City busy, I get it. But she walks like right up against Matt Zuckery, where he literally moves out of the way for the extra. If you go back,
it's something about shooting on the lot never feels like you're actually shooting in the city. It's always a little weird. Like, I was like,
it was like the other side of where Luke's is.
Like, is there no way, Scott, to make the lot look actually like an actual place?
It takes a lot of money.
Yeah, it would take so much money.
And camera angles.
Yeah. Right. It always looks.
I agree
looks
with you, Amy.
Fake.
I definitely thought of, I was like, oh, Warner Brothers. You
like,
know?
I saw an episode of Quantum Leap the other day. RIP, Quantum Leap got canceled. And I'm like totally pissed about it. But There's literally a scene that I'm convinced was shot on the Universal tour. You know, when the water comes rushing down and you're like, no, I'm going to be caught in this rushing water. The dam broke. I literally think they shot it there on that very thing. And I'm
you know what else was shot there?
What is happening?
One of Lady Gaga's music videos. No.
And you want to know what else? Big Fat Liar.
No.
Oh, it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like right after Jaws. I think it's right after you cross that bridge. And then it's like, oh, no, the water. And I'm like, that is so fake.
You know, they do have a New York street or a New York section of Warner Brothers back lot, because I went on the tour when we were there promoting the new Luke's Coffee diner blends and
stuff. Good plug. Good way to slide that in there. Good job. Good job.
No, I was just... That's
no, but I liked it. That's a very organic...
No, I was just telling you, I was there to plug the coffee. You know, the Luke's Diner blend and the...
Yeah.
if somebody were to get that, how would they get that coffee, Scott? If somebody wanted to get that, do they just go to the Warner Brothers store?
Yes, but also there's like a big sort of like thing coming, announcement. Right, I can't say it yet. So, but anyway, I went back there with James Pettit and they took us on a tour and the whole thing. There was a whole New York-y section. So maybe that's... Maybe that was that night or something.
Maybe, but they are, because I've done the tour as well, and they say they always incredible. Like wet the street to make it look.
Always.
Sidebar, should I do that too? Or like, is it worth it?
It's fun.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I want to do that.
Yeah, you'll learn. It's a pretty cool tour.
But there's nothing like it, because you know what, Universal, I can't do that tour because that thing goes around you and
there's
sick.
No ride concept.
Okay, I can't
like
have
you
that.
Actually
it's
get
a ride. No.
The thing around you go inside a soundstage.
Yeah.
No, at Universal, you still go in that tunnel and that it spins
It doesn't do that. It doesn't do that anymore, Amy.
First of all, they took that out.
Warner Brothers doesn't have rides.
You get a full panic attack when King Kong came and the screens are around me and I'm like, I gotta pull the lever. I gotta get off. And my friend
you can go inside and you can make some potions a la Harry Potter. You can be a little wizardess.
No, Amy, the Warner
was like, do not pull the lever. I'm like, I have to get off this tram.
The Warner Brothers one, you actually get off a lot and walk around.
Okay, cool. I'm going to do that. I want to do it like VIP. I'm going to call James Pettit. Anyway, continue.
I'll go with you.
Oh, thank you. I actually have an idea.
It's Warner Brothers.
Come again.
It was funny when we were in New York. So my husband and I had never been to New York before. And so we're with a school group. So we were on a tour bus. And as we're like rolling through Manhattan.
Suzanne.
He's looking around. He's like, it looks...
No better way to see New York than
I know. Well, it is. It was what it was. We were chaperoning a high school trip, but it was funny because my husband's looking around. He goes, "It looks just like the Warner backlot."
That's funny.
Like, yeah, I guess Warner did a good job then.
Yeah.
Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. And vacation disappears quicker than ice cream melts. But what if summer doesn't have to come with a scorching price tag? What if there's another way? With IKEA, your plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Dreamy getaways can mean the perfect reading nook right outside your window, picnic in the shade, or taking your morning coffee to meet the morning sun. Really, any meal tastes better outside. Create that summer escape for family and friends and start planning a better, more affordable summer right now. You can be the host with the most and the least worries. This summer, make your doorstep the perfect vacation destination with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Do you love fashion? Do you love getting compliments on how well you're dressed? Are you always seeking the latest trends? Then we're talking to you. BostonProper.com is your fashion destination and the only place to go for all those nods, head turns, and new styles. No matter the day, season, or occasion, Boston Proper has what you're looking for. Sophisticated, confident clothing designed to flatter and get noticed. So visit BostonProper.com now and start creating your perfect wardrobe. Boston Proper. Wear it like no one else.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Okay, so now we're in the car on the way to Friday night dinner. So the Mustang is gone. Now we're back in the Volvo. And Lorelai is picking on Chris for his choice of music. Now, did you guys hear what song was playing?
Is this one Jewel was playing?
Was it Sebastian?
It was a Skid Row song.
Yeah, it was Sebastian.
Oh, that's funny.
It was
Oh my God.
By Skid Row. So
I just heard Jewel.
Jewel was the last scene, Amy. I heard that one too.
Yeah, they put all their money into like clearing those songs, although they only played 10 seconds of each one. But I'm like, again, can I just vent about the pop culture for a minute?
Yeah. Is it forced?
It's not good. It's so forced. It's like literally, this is what I thought about the other day. And I don't know if I've already told you guys this because I get confused about what we text and whatever. It's like they do a script and then somebody in a meeting's like, hey, we better squeeze 20 pop culture references in. And then they're just like shoving them in, where what was so genius about the first six seasons is how like subtle they were and how organic they were and how like some of them you didn't even totally get because they were so perfect.
Fast.
And right. Fast. There you go, Scott. Yeah. Fast.
It's Gilmore-like. It's just not the genuine article because there's no Amy and Dan. So it's a little clunky and awkward. And there are pockets of funny things. And it's, you know, there's, like I said, there's some great writers on this. But without Amy and Dan's special sauce, it's hard. You can't replicate that. You just can't do it. And that's kind of, I think that's what everybody's feeling watching season seven, where it's like, there's some great writers on this staff and they're writing funny stuff, but it's different how it's set up. It's different how it's delivered. It's, you know, it's all just kind of different, you know, and it's good in its own way, right?
Yeah.
Own way, but we don't necessarily recognize it.
It's not good.
It's not related to this show.
Yeah. Right. It's not. Yeah. It's not clever. Anyway,
so sorry, I got a break. They're pinging me to join a meeting at work that's already in progress. So
oh, please do. We'll just continue. We'll miss you, but we'll continue. Danielle, can you take it over?
Oh, never. No.
I thought you were going to say, oh, sure.
Oh, my God. Tara, you give it a go.
Okay. It's going to be rough. Sorry,
Danielle.
I can't follow Suzanne.
I know, because she adds those tidbits that are
this scene was from this episode.
Give me the scenes and I can help.
Okay.
We're at Friday night dinner.
Okay, so.
We're almost done. She's not missing that much.
So Emily serves the lamb because it's special and loves being there with Christopher and Lorelai and wants to play tennis with
them. I do love lamb. Oh, yeah. And like, they're all in a fight and Emily and Richard are having the time of their lives because they don't even realize they're in a fight and just like it's so polite and the whole thing. And then I laughed when she said, please step into the bathroom with me. And I'm like, oh, that's funny.
Yeah. And then Richard proposes a toast to Lorelai and Christopher.
Yeah. I know Scott hated it all, but I didn't.
I just like Emily and Richard.
You guys talk amongst yourselves. I have nothing to add.
Scott hated it so much.
My silence will be my...
I didn't mind all this.
I agree with Scott when he said this in the beginning that he's always excited to see Emily and Richard. And in this, I'm like, no, like Emily and Richard, you guys always give people a hard time. Like, can you please give Christopher a hard time just a little bit?
The only reason why I'm okay with it is because it's expected from them with Christopher. Like, they've always wanted as much as a... trainer.
But like at what point are you like, my daughter was about to marry somebody else 6 weeks ago and now she's dating her baby daddy? Like what point do you like step in and you're like, hey Lorelai, are you good? You know, like I don't know. I think any other parent would be questioning this.
I agree, but I also think
they're
with
so
them,
jazzed. They
it's
don't care.
It's so about like, oh well, he's the son of these people. You know what
they
I mean?
Those terrible parents. Remember of how which they
don't
is?
Like. God,
they don't
right
even
now.
Like that guy. They hate that guy.
I don't know.
I think
they're just jazzed because it's like their dream. And he's, as Scott always says, like of the caliber they want.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. I didn't hate those scenes though. And I actually sort of thought it was amusing when they make up and Rory shows up. And I didn't mind it. I giggled a little bit. When Emily's like, what's going on? Like, she was so clueless to the whole thing that they were in a big tiff.
Oh, my God.
Scott.
I'm on your page, Scott. This whole portion of the episode is so painful.
Yeah, this last. Well, and then it just felt very forced. And by the way, the scene right after this was the forced.
Yes.
After that, after the dinner was the Manhattan dinner, but we already talked about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we went out of order.
But when the three of them, Lorelai, Rory, and Christopher are sitting on the couch, and then they're like, oh my God, do you want to see mom's mugshot?
That was funny.
It was funny, but I also was just like, I don't like that they're all enjoying. Like, that was the one scene where I'm like,
Oh, come on. I was like, not even mad about that because it's like so hilarious she went to jail, but I don't know. I guess my other problem with it is logistics. How is Rory, and I'm not from the East Coast, so I don't know, but how is Rory getting from Yale to Manhattan and then back to like wherever they live all this fast by dessert?
Wait, I'm going to look it up right now.
Yeah, right? Because she went through a whole dinner with him and he was leaving at 10:30 or something.
I'm like, it's got to be midnight. Like, what is happening?
I'm looking this up. Well, hold on.
Yeah, she just appeared. Like, they just appear in the Brady Bunch.
But this is the part where Christopher invites Lorelai to go to Paris. And I think Christopher is giving her everything Luke wasn't giving her in this moment. Even though we all get the ick from it.
I think
Lorelai is drawn to the fact that he's including her in something that Luke pushed her away from.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody?
Yeah. No, yeah.
Give me that one more time. I didn't follow. I'm sorry.
I think she is drawn to the fact that Christopher is including her in something Luke is pushing her pushed her away from.
She was craving that from Luke and never got it. So this is.
And Christopher's giving it on a silver platter in Paris.
As he's wont to do. Everything's also on a just silver an update. Platter now because he can afford a silver platter. So there it goes.
It takes 2 hours and 30 minutes to get from Manhattan to Hartford. So you're
and
right.
And how
Amy.
Long from Yale? It's totally right. It's all bananas. It's like totally crazy.
I don't even think Rory needed to show up.
No, but she showed up because we had to get that car scene.
Because she's going to Paris too, I'm assuming, right?
No, not necessarily, but we had to get that car scene.
Oh, I took that car scene as in the car. Rory's going to go to, and then Rory's going to visit.
Oh,
Logan
I got it as
there.
Look at us. We're a happy family.
That's how I took it too.
Like,
I didn't think
finally,
about Paris.
After this many years, 21 years, we're finally a happy family in a car together. And that's why Lorelai gives that sort of smirky.
Here's my commentary. This is me walking off the set. Here we go. You wrap it. Okay.
Do you want to talk about the deleted scene before you leave?
I don't. Okay. I'm protesting this whole episode. I'm done with this.
It's like when someone dramatically walks off the View. Scott's walking off.
Give us your mic drop, Scott. Give it to us.
I'll give my thoughts. The car scene was enjoyable because I too sort of had a moment of like, oh, that is sweet. Like, they're all three in the car together. This is the first time they've all three been like a real family and the parents are together. And like, a lot of people want their parents to be together. Yeah. And Lorelai sort of realizes it.
But not Rory, if you think about it. She has historically not wanted them together.
She sort of seems in on it. She's smiling and happy and bopping her head and he's bopping his head. And Lorelai gives that sort of look of like, yeah, you know, wow. My family's
the shoe's
going to
drop, right, guys? Because it's like, we've seen this twice already.
Just wait. Just wait. It's going to go up and down for you.
I think the reason for me that it's inconsistent with Rory, like, because I got the same thing, Amy, that she's like, oh, happy family. But I'm like, that's inconsistent because the end of even the couple episodes ago, she's like, I can't believe you did this with Dad. And it's like, it's kind of like the writers forgot what they wrote like three episodes. You know what I mean?
Well, like, of course, right? Everything's poofing away in a blink, right? Like
we're literally zigzagging across this whole freaking season. It's like, oh, Lorelai, Christopher. Well,
and then let's talk about the deleted scene. Okay, wait, Scott's back. Scott, we haven't done the deleted scene yet, but I think you could handle it. So the deleted scene is actually kind of amazing. It's that Luke built a bonfire. Tell me if I'm getting it right, because I saw kind of like a version of it. Built a bonfire to get rid of, April came up with the idea because it can get rid of the smell, right? So the whole town's around the bonfire and Taylor's losing his mind because there's open flame or whatever it is. And April's explaining the science of it. And then he sees them driving. Is that right?
Yeah.
And that's a gut punch. I actually think they should have left that in.
They should have been the last scene.
I totally agree. That was
way better than the dumb car scene. So much better.
Yeah, which just ended with nothing.
The way the Paladinos used to do it that we always talked about was like, you think you got to the end. So you think the end is the three of them in the car. And the deleted scene would have been so much better because it always gives you another sort of
jolt. Yeah.
And that
because they couldn't have the bonfire in there and then cut to all three of them smiling and happy as a family. You know?
But that should have been before.
I thought that was the very last scene, right?
I think it was. I think you would have had the car scene with the three of them and then you cut to the bonfire. I mean, they must have run out of time because there would have needed to be some sort of bonfire setup.
Well, out the Paris stuff. There's much more you could have cut. Right,
but at the very end of the car scene, if you remember, they all made that face like the stink. So it actually would have had to be
right there smelling the smell. No, because they've rolled back into Stars Hollow and they're smelling the smell. And then you cut to the bonfire everyone's at the bonfire.
They're trying to make the smell go
drive
away.
By. Right. I think it would have been a better episode with the scene in.
For sure.
Oh, yeah. Sure. You're right, Danielle. Cut the Yale scene. We didn't need it.
And like April saying something like, is that Lorelai? And you know, something like that.
Cut
I don't know.
Bunch of that dinner. I don't even think you need April saying it because we know Luke sees him. Cut a bunch of that Bobby dinner. That thing went on way too long.
I liked Bobby dinner. I like Bobby fine.
I didn't like Rory. I dropped my pen. I don't know where my pen is.
We're in shambles over here, you guys. Are we going to rate this up?
I have like whiplash from this like episode.
Right. I've dropped my pen. I can't even take notes. Yes. I don't have any favorite lines because there are not any good ones.
Let's just stick a fork in this one.
Give your rating.
Danielle.
I hate to say my rating.
You guys go first.
No, Danielle, you've been called.
Okay. 7.5 TiVos.
How many?
7.5.
I gave this a 7.5. You, Danielle.
You're right.
Lower than you.
You're lower than me. Okay.
I'm a tad lower. I'm giving it 7 Rory textbooks.
I'm giving it Scott 7.
Goes, you're rating this a 7.
The like, only reason why
7 air fresheners around Gypsy's neck.
That's a good one.
I liked the Bobby stuff and I loved the Logan.
The Logan stuff saved the episode for me.
Respectfully disagree. The Bobby stuff was so not good. Not good. I would have watched 2 hours of Friday Night Dinner compared to Bobby.
Go Bobby, go Bobby, go Bobby.
But the Logan scenes, like they were just so much
better. Bobby.
So good. They were so good.
And those two fools that work at the company, they were so caricature-y. I was like,
they were awesome.
It was a little cheesy.
They were so awesome. They were.
But if it weren't for Logan, this season would be a bust. Like legitimately.
A dog with fleas.
If he was still in London on the phone this episode, I think we would have all given up and him coming to town.
What is next week? Hold on.
Right, I have to give my rating.
Bulldogs.
Scott.
Very valuable. Drum roll for Scott.
-5.
I'm going to split the baby in half and I'm going to give it a 5er, I guess. You know, I got some chuckles out of this. I got some chuckles.
Nah, a 5. What's your measuring stick?
5 really large, stinky barrels of rotten pickles.
Oh my God.
That's what I'm giving. All right, that's going to be a wrap on this great stink, and it certainly was half of it. Anyway, thanks for the downloads. Best fans on the planet, bar none. Everybody stay safe. All the best. Keep the cards and letters coming. We love you. We need you. We miss you. Stay safe, everyone. Everybody, and don't forget, follow us on Instagram at IAmAllInPodcast and email us at Gilmore@iHeartRadio.com.
Ah, summer. The best time of the year usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Do you love fashion? Do you love getting compliments on how well you're dressed? Are you always seeking the latest trends? Then we're talking to you. BostonProper.com is your fashion destination and the only place to go for all those nods, head turns, and new styles. No matter the day, season, or occasion, Boston Proper has what you're looking for. Sophisticated, confident clothing designed to flatter and get noticed. So visit BostonProper.com now and start creating your perfect wardrobe. Boston Proper. Wear it like no one else.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.